to deal with the proposed private members bill. I think in the initial meeting, we did give the background of where we come from, and therefore we felt that as a portfolio committee on mineral resources and energy, we needed to get a sense of what also is the view, as also there was a request, what would be the views of the portfolio committee on public enterprise, as well as the department, as this is a matter that, yes, by policy might fall on mineral resources and energy, but in terms of its impact, it will have a direct impact on what public enterprise is dealing with. So that is the main reason we are here, and therefore before we could deliberate as the Portfolio Committee of Mineral Resources and Energy, we had to confer with our colleagues in public enterprise. And so that is basically what is about today. In the last meeting we had, we think there was a hiccup that we couldn't get the presentation from the department as well of public enterprise and Eskom. And I see today we are well and good on course. Now, let me also give the chairperson of public enterprise to also make the all of his own welcoming remarks, and then we'll go to the to look at apologies and then deal with the presentation. Honorable Magat.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson Luzipho. I think I'm also want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody, our members from the Portfolio Committee for Public Enterprise. You already actually articulated what brings us today together here is to do with the Independent Electricity Management Operator Bill, what is called IMO-Bill. Also, it's a continuation of the previous session. Therefore, I think by now, the people who are supposed to make presentation are ready, Honorable Chairperson. Therefore, I think we all welcome, and I will have to give back to you. Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson. Chairperson.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I think I've done with the welcome. And you're supposed to continue the session.
Yes. Are there any apologies?
Yes, Chair.
With mineral resources.
Good morning, members and our guest. Apologies, I've got a problem with my camera. I'm Ayanda Boss. I've got three apologies from mineral resources. Ms. Hlonyane is not coming to the meeting, and Ms. Mgweba. Mr. Zungula will join us after 10. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Is there any from public enterprise? Apologies.
Good morning, Honorable Members and Chairperson. No apologies from public enterprise that I've received formally. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. My first apology is so that no one will make another apology. Please. Our experience sometimes is not good. I'm apologizing on behalf of those who are going to make the same thing so that it's done in advance. Please make it a point that when you are in virtual meeting, switch off mic and switch off your camera, so that we don't see things that are happening in the background, which may not be good for public viewing. Please, let's apply maximum discipline. You only unmute your mic when you are going to be making a point. We have seen certain things that are not good for our eyes in public. I just saw something even now. So please, I request anyone and everyone who is here, let's stick to the rules. Make it a point where you are, you are ready for a meeting. It must be seen that you are coming, you are taking the work that you are doing very seriously. That's my plea. So that sometimes you hear kids in the background and everything. We know we, not all of us, we don't have big houses. In as much as it is the case, let's try and find a very quiet place that will make it a point that the work that we do is not only respected by us, it's also respected by the public at large, whom we are anyway at task due to their mandate. That is just a request, but also a rule that we'll all have to comply with. So I've apologized for those who are going to make this mistake because they are going to stick to the rules. They will not do that. Having said so, I saw the Minister for Public Enterprise. I hope I'm correct. I think he's gonna lead us on public enterprise. Is the MRE present? The MRE, are you present? I take it that the MRE is not here. I just saw see an apology now. Honorable members from Honorable Nimalo is saying that he is struggling with connecting to the. I'm sure finally it's gonna, IT will attend to that. Having said so, let me give to the Honorable Minister and his team, Honorable Pravin Podan. Welcome, Honorable Minister. The floor is yours.
Good morning, chairpersons and honorable members, and those members of the public that are joining your committee. Thank you very much for this opportunity to make this presentation on this proposed bill from the Democratic Alliance. I want to confirm what you've said, Chair, that this is a policy matter which lies in the domain of mineral resources and energy, and that we are merely expressing a point of view to assist you in understanding our perspective on this policy issue. And secondly, if I may apologize up front, I need to leave at 10:45 for another meeting at 11, which I can't miss. So I hope you would accommodate me in that regard. But I'm sure we can conclude this matter in the next hour and a half or so with the cooperation of everyone concerned. There is a presentation that we have prepared. There was one distributed earlier on, and there's a slightly amended one that was distributed late last night, early this morning. But we will flight it and take you very quickly through the presentation. I'm just wondering which of the officials on my side are going to help me in this regard. But while they're working that out, Chair, the presentation covers four aspects. Firstly, the structure of the electricity supply industry in South Africa. And just to give some idea to colleagues and members on some of the issues that pertain to this matter, both in this country and globally as well, and what the global trends are. Secondly, we look at the bill itself. We're not going to cover every aspect of the bill, but certainly a few of the principles that emerge, and we will make some comments on that. Thirdly, we will show that in the roadmap for the restructuring of Eskom, many of the issues that have arisen in this paper, in the proposed bill, are in fact catered for in that particular regard, and other developments that would occur as well in the electricity supply industry, and finally conclude, make some concluding remarks. So slide number 3 looks at some of the questions that arise in the restructuring of the industry. If somebody who is managing the slides can go to slide mode, that will help. So I'm at slide number 3. So some of the questions, chairpersons and honorable members, is how do we get a diversification of electricity supply? So remember that we are talking about 3 sets of issues here. Firstly, the generation of electricity and how that is done and the extent of diversity we have. Secondly, the transmission of electricity and the operation and ownership of the transmission grid, which most countries in the world regard as a strategic asset, not to be privatized in any kind of way. And thirdly, the distribution of electricity, which again takes different forms in different countries. And we have our own unique history, but also current dynamics in that regard, where both Eskom and municipalities take responsibility for the distribution of electricity. The diversification of supply could mean both the generation side, but also the distribution side. The key issue for us in South Africa, as many have raised, both in government and outside of government, is the question of energy security. And energy security will certainly depend upon a careful but rapid and effective implementation of the Integrated Resource Plan in all its respects, so that electricity supply and availability is ahead of the economic cycles that any country's economy will go through, and that electricity does not act as a constraint to economic growth, which it has in our situation done over the last 10 or 12 years. So the ambition that government would have through the Integrated Resource Plan and its implementation, and currently through Eskom, but through different forms of generation as well, which is already occurring, is to ensure adequate supply and security of that supply of electricity to our country, both to citizens and to businesses. The third issue is competition, which would ensure that the right level of pricing occurs, and that efficient pricing would mean a competitive advantage for businesses and a lower cost of living for citizens. Question that arises from all of this is who pays for generation infrastructure. Currently, much of that comes from the state through Eskom, but there's a diversity that's developing in our country through embedded generation, through the various bid windows and actual implementation of renewables as well, in which there's largely private sector investment, and through the completion of the Eskom major projects in Kusile and Medupi. But as we look into the next 5 or 10 years and beyond, the funding of infrastructure would look pretty different from what we actually have today, one would anticipate. Creating industries that support electricity provision should be a key objective in terms of the industrialization objectives that we would have within the country. And clearly, electricity supply must contribute to inclusion and equity amongst the citizens of this country as an important objective. Question that arises from this proposed bill is why a private company should own the transmission component of the electricity supply value chain, and we'll address that issue in a moment. I want slides 5 and 6 are for your information largely. The first, slide 5, is the structure of the electricity supply industry in South Africa. And you can see that the three different components of the value chain: generation, transmission, including systems operation, and distribution. So there's some disturbance coming through here, person.
I hear that something. If it's not you, if it's not you, Honorable Minister, then somebody has unmuted his or her mic. Please, if that person can do so, that's what I was pleading for. Can that person switch off the mic, please?
Okay, I'll just read, Chair. Slide 6 looks at what the International Energy Agency provides to us as global trends in relation to energy security, talking about promoting diversity, affordability, and reliability being key elements of any energy supply system, and the restructuring of vertically integrated state-owned monopolies, Eskom being one, and the Eskom roadmap is addressing that, and that process is underway, as we indicate later in the slide presentation. Ensuring economic development. In this regard, they talk about free markets to foster economic growth, but that's the perspective they come from. And what they talk about here is the new policy trajectory and the numbers of people that are getting access to electricity over time. We've had our own electrification program in this country, and whilst excellent work has been done, there's still the last leg to travel in that particular regard. And an important component that we have to consider much more seriously and give effect to is the environmental questions that arise from the current modes of distributing or generating electricity and future modes of generating electricity in relation to environmental protection and the use of various types of fuels versus the use of renewable resources such as the sun and wind and other resources where they are applicable. This talks about the current realities globally on the African continent and within South Africa itself. And again, this is to provide some context for the discussion that we are having, so I won't go through the details. It's for your edification. This is an example of the global restructuring that seems to be occurring elsewhere in the world. Again, in relation to the single buyer model, which is what ISMO and EMO attempt to actually address. Competition in relation to generation, which we are beginning to have in South Africa, both within Eskom itself, but more importantly, through embedded generation and IPPs and other forms of generation as well, and retail competition that they see elsewhere in the world, which in our context requires a fair amount of careful consideration. So on the bill itself, in that context, Chairperson and Chairpersons and Honourable Members, the question still remains, what is this bill actually addressing? So there are three, let me remind ourselves, key components: generation, transmission, together with the systems operator, and distribution. And in part, the bill's objectives objects set out in section 2 of the bill seems to say that the object is to set up a financially viable EMO, as it is called, which will act as a trader of electricity, will prepare appropriate input into the planning of electricity supply, which I'm sure is a highly contentious matter. And in subparagraph D under 2, says it's responsible for the establishment, practice, and maintenance of the integrated power system. What the word practice means in that context is a bit of a mystery. and what an integrated power system, which is supposed to be generation, transmission, and distribution, has to do with the transmission component, which this bill is supposed to be addressing, which is what slide 10 picks up on, is a fundamental contradiction that this bill presents. In any event, as far as the Section 3 of the Act is concerned, and looking at 3.1c, there's a provision in the bill which says that state shall not be allowed to be a shareholder of EMO. And that's quite a categorical statement. So in essence, it is saying that what most countries in the world consider to be the key strategic asset in any electricity supply system, i.e. the transmission component and the system's operator, is what should be privatized in South Africa. And the rest of the bill addresses various aspects of it, largely addressing itself through reference to the Companies Act itself. So some indications given that this is premised on the ISMO bill, but I think the ISMO bill takes a very different tack in terms of the precise role of an inverted commas ISMO and the ownership of ISMO itself. And in any event, you will find that in the Eskom roadmap, we address these questions as we go forward. That is the separation of transmission from the rest of the components, i.e. generation and distribution, as we go forward. Now, as you will see later in the slide presentation, Eskom has already undertaken some of these changes through the implementation of the Eskom roadmap. We are on the way, so to speak, to actually establishing an independent transmission component. And as we go forward, the Minister of Minerals and Energy, in this instance, the energy component, through government, will determine what the future shape of Eskom will be and how transmission fits into this picture and who will be the buying authority, what different types of generation of energy would be permitted in terms of the integrated resource plan and any successor to that plan, and of course how distribution of energy or electricity will take place in South Africa. So if we then look at some components of the bill in slide 11, and again, Chair, I won't go through all of them. I pointed out the fundamental contradiction that we have that government will not find acceptable, and that is the private ownership of a key component and a strategic component in relation to transmission. In this slide, we talk about the EMO concept, talking about open up electricity generation, but that is already something provided for in the integrated resource plan and in other policy initiatives that the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy has already taken over the last year approximately, and where further initiatives will be taken in this regard as well. It says give IPPs the opportunity to have the same access to the electricity market as Eskom. That's already happening, and as we evolve along this path, further initiatives will be taken to give effect to this as well. Transfer the risk of power plant construction and operation to IPPs. But currently, the IPP model transfers a fair amount of risk to government itself in terms of the provision of guarantees and so on. And I think future generations or bid windows must actually be framed differently so that there's appropriate levels of risk sharing. This is something that we've discussed with some multilateral banks in the last week or so, and we find that we're quite accurate in picking this up as an important issue to look at. Provide for independent dispatch of generators. And again, as the system evolves beyond the current situation that we actually have, all of these things will come into shape. So on the right-hand side, Chairperson, and honourable members, we indicate where there's a direct relationship between some elements of the proposed bill and the Eskom roadmap in relation to, in the first instance, as I've pointed out repeatedly, the separation of generation, transmission and distribution. In the second instance, into the formation of the transmission entity. In the third instance, the consideration to create two or more generation subsidiaries. That's just as far as Eskom is concerned, but also allowing for private sector participation in generation through the various pronouncements that the Minister of Energy has made. And Eskom itself should be given the option, if it has the resources, to participate in the renewable sector. On slide 12, we go into the key component that we find as a problem, for which reason we would say that this bill should be rejected by the two committees, and that is the incorporation, as I mentioned in section 3.1c of the bill, of EMO as a private company. So I won't go into the details. Safe to say that this is a matter of principle, which is something that is consistent with international patterns and trends. And what we can talk about at some stage is how investment could be permitted into that particular entity, because it would be one of the most or the more profitable parts of the overall electricity system that we would actually have. But that's something in the future once the restructuring actually occurs. On slide 13, again, we look at the private sector or the private company being established. It says that the EMO will not be an SOE, but it is also not, so to speak, an ordinary private company, because on the one hand, we want no state involvement. On the other hand, we want the Minister of Energy to nominate a board, or five members of a board, sign the memorandum of incorporation. We don't want the PFMA to apply in this bill, and so on. So there's a series of contradictions that the bill itself reflects, and confusion conceptually in terms of what is actually intended and what actually emerges. Perhaps the key issue here is allowing, and this has been the objective as far as this political party is concerned, metropolitan municipalities to purchase electricity directly from generators, i.e. IPPs, in certain circumstances. And here again, it's not our business to comment on that. But the Department of Energy has invited comments in this particular regard in terms of the electricity regulations on the new generation capacity, which you see on the right-hand side of the slide, in order to allow for municipalities that have the financial standing to be able to engage in this process to actually do so. So there's a process underway, which would be completed shortly once the regulatory consultations have actually been completed. And that objective will be served without necessarily having to pass this bill. Now, we get into various chapters of the bill. And again, Chair, as I've said, in principle, I've addressed the key issues, but chapter one is about the objects, which I've talked about already. Chapter two is about the establishment and functions, particularly section six of the bill. And these are some of the details that are relevant in this particular regard. And again, I don't think there's any need to go into the details, save that throughout this chapter, and particularly in section six, which runs for about two pages, you have a fair amount of this conceptual confusion between just the transmission component itself versus what is then called the integrated electricity system. And so that's where our key comments are. This, for your information, this is what we talked about more than a year ago in relation to the restructuring of Eskom. And you can see at the lower end of the slide that it provides for the separation of transmission, which is TE, from both generation and distribution. This is another representation of the transmission component and the market operator, or generation on the left-hand side. And you can see the diversity of sources of generation and types of generation. And on the right-hand side, the distribution component as far as municipalities and so on are concerned. It's the next slide. I'm at slide 20. Now at slide 21, these are some of the benefits that we've shared with the committee before in relation to the restructuring of Eskom, which by and large has been welcomed by all sections of industry and society. And it adds, as we say, greater transparency in relation to costs and transparency and supervision of operations or effectiveness of operations. And once the whole system begins to operate effectively, contributes to economic growth in the country by providing energy security and a secure supply, ensures competition, particularly in generation, so that the cheapest prices are available to South Africans, both as citizens and as businesses. It provides a stable system overall as soon as these processes settle down. And over time, it will promote innovation and entrepreneurship as well as different players, as is already happening within the renewable sector, come to the party in this particular regard. What is the progress in terms of the so-called unbundling or restructuring process? These are some dates, Chair, and the Eskom management and board has been asked to speed up some of these processes, which they will do. And there already is a divisionalization of generation, transmission, and distribution, the so-called divisional or internal boards that have been appointed earlier this year. And now the details of, for example, financial accounting, IT systems, etc., are the details that are being worked upon at the present point in time. And perhaps later in the year, we can give you a fuller report in this particular regard. And finally, on slide 24, we are basically saying that both the intention of the Department of Energy in relation to the ISMO bill and the Eskom roadmap, as I've just gone through in outline, give us the same result as this bill, but the transmission component remains in the hands of the state as an important and strategic asset, whilst on the generation side, there's a diversity of generation that has already started, and more of that diversity will emerge as we go forward. And on the distribution side, as you know, municipalities earn a fair amount of their revenue from electricity tariffs and adding a premium on the price that currently Eskom sells electricity to municipalities. So once we begin to look at the distribution area and the role of municipalities and rationalizing that role in some way, the fiscal elements at a municipal level will have to be looked at carefully by the various government components and other role players as well, including local government. Therefore, in quite emphatic and clear terms, we would not encourage any support for this bill, as it is superfluous. It does not do anything innovative. It is slightly confused, we believe, conceptually in its crafting. And the same purposes can, in fact, be served by ongoing processes that government has already put in place. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. for the presentation. Honorable members, let me again raise, just caution members. We are all adults here, and if there's someone who came in by mistake, he's in the wrong place. When we say let's switch off, when we say let's switch off our mics, let's switch off our videos, I don't think we should repeat it again when we're dealing with adults. So please, don't disrupt or disturb the meeting. I again repeat, because we can't say when we're sitting in a meeting, some bodies, you can hear these walking, whether the floor is making noise, and many things that are happening at the background. Please, let's respect the meeting, all of us. Having said so, thank you, Minister. Sal, I usually do things differently from my committee. I don't know from yours, but I will request that let's take the first three from Mineral Resources, and the first three, and I know how I did in my committee, so I can't prescribe for you. But I think because we are two committees, very big when you are two, it actually means we are supposed to be close to 22. Or sometimes we might be even more than 22. So let's be fair with time. The maximum I'll give my members, they know, my committee members, they know no one will exceed 3 minutes. Ask questions of clarity, or if the member feels wants to comment, just comment. I have my watch with me. I know how I do it. Then I will give to the chairperson of public enterprise to deal with the first 3 members, but also they should not exceed 3 minutes. And then we'll go back to the minister. We will take notes, minister, of the questions. Unfortunately, we'll try and avoid the dialogue where one person asks a question and then you respond. So you'll bear with us, with your team, you'll take notes of the questions or comments that have been made. I will start with Mr. Mashele.
I want to disagree with you.
Yes.
I'm sitting in the portfolio committee of public enterprise, and we're seeing this bill is coming to the committee for the first time. So if you're going to give us 3 minutes, like you're giving to your own committee members, which are seated with this bill, they've been sitting with this bill, they've been interrogating it and going through it for some time, that is not fair on our part. We are seeing this for the first time and we would like to engage on it. So please don't limit public enterprise to a 3 minutes.
Okay, let me leave with public enterprise. I was not saying public enterprise won't speak. I was saying we'll give the first three, so that out of all these members, I'm calculating the time, and the minister has made a request to be released at 10:45. But I can't rule, it's not my committee, public enterprise. I leave it with the chairperson. Let me do the way I was doing. But I'm sure members are also seeing the response of the department for the first time. But let me leave it as such. I leave it to the chairperson of public enterprise.
Chair. Okay, chair.
Yes.
Can I suggest another process? Instead of you taking responsibility of the three, of the mineral and resource, and then I take three, just take the whole responsibility of question and answering. Just chair for everybody, and then you use your own flexibility to everybody. I will just, after you have finished, and then we, in an attempt to close.
Let me give you then to deal with it, because I would know all of the members, and then the staff will help us on the hands that are being raised.
Oh, you suggest that I must take the
take this session.
Okay. Can I get the hands who's helping me to get whose hands are up?
Chair, could I just interject here to say that on my screen there's no facility here for me to raise a hand.
Okay.
It's registered me as a guest here. Maybe that's why.
Okay. Let me then say three first names from the Mineral and Resource, Mineral Energy, Can I get number one there?
The name that I suggest is Honorable Mahlaule, Honorable Mailem, and then Honorable Mtenjane.
Thank you. Can the honorable members come accordingly?
No, thank you very much, Chair. Both chairpersons, and let's welcome the presentation from the minister. It is confirming some of the issues that in the mineral resources and energy portfolio we have been saying, that if we were to give a chance to IEMO without the process of restructuring as it is happening, we would be going ahead of our time. And in the name of privatization in the main, which is not in the good interest of the country. So the minister has just confirmed our long-held view that we should give the restructuring process a chance, even before we go back to ISMO, because that would be the process that we would embark on before we even consider the views of IEMO. So, Chair, there's really nothing much from ourselves. We have been debating this bill for some time. We're just happy that some of the things that we have been saying are confirmed by the Minister of Public Enterprises. So we will hear other views, especially from the Portfolio Committee of Enterprises specifically, so that when we go and engage, we take consideration of those views. There is no confusion on where we're going. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mashaula. Can you get the second member?
Thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I've been doing a lot of research into various structures of transmission system operators around the world. And there's general agreement internationally that the functions of planning, allocation, procurement, and system operations should be extracted from the generation utility. There's also a broad sense of thinking that the buyer function should also be extracted from the generation facility. And this is something I'd really welcome Minister Gordhan's input on. In this regard, there are more than 30 countries that have created their own separate transmission system operators. And I'd like to quote what the World Bank says about transmission system operators. It says, a TSO must be independent of the ownership and control of market participants, for example, generators, distributors, and suppliers. And independence is required so that the TSO does not discriminate in favor of one market participant over another. The World Bank goes on to say that functional unbundling, or the idea that a large power enterprise owns both generation and transmission and then tries to establish detailed conduct rules so that the grid operator will act as if it is separate when it is not, is the impossible dream and cannot be reconciled. They also say that government ownership is not a long-term solution, that government ownership and control continues the very problems that the reform was supposed to have solved. So this brings me to some questions for the minister. First of all, Minister, you're a former Minister of Finance, and you and I have had a long relationship. We know each other quite well. does the Reserve Bank model work in South Africa? And if so, why would it not work in this particular case? Minister, the second question is, although you put up a timeline of Eskom's unbundling, the reality is there's been little real practical progress on Eskom unbundling. How can that generate competition? How can that do exactly what the World Bank says it cannot? Then, Minister, I'd like to bring your attention to a slide where you say that the allocation of a specific function to metropolitan municipalities is unconstitutional. My question is, did you get a legal opinion in this regard? And are you aware of Section 1553 of the Constitution, which says that national legislation must prescribe the different functions of Category A and Category C municipalities? Lastly, on your slide, you say the solution must result in energy security for South Africa. And in this regard, I absolutely agree with you. However, the Department of Public Enterprises and Eskom have shown that they are absolutely incapable of ensuring energy security. So, is it not time, Minister, for an alternative solution? Thank you.
So much, Honorable Milan. Can we get a third person?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, both the chairpersons, and also thanks for the presentation today. Yeah. But the point there is that, as the first speaker said, the Honorable Mika, we have said it loud and clear, as we are seeing this bill for the second time, some of us here in this committee. Yeah, as it used to come into our committee. We said it loud and clear that we cannot be seeming like reversing apartheid issues here. Because by allowing this bill, it simply means that we are rendering Eskom useless, as it is useless as of now. But we know that Eskom itself is not useless. The only thing, the management of Eskom, they are the ones who are useless. But the entity itself, it's not. Because it can be correct that during apartheid, Eskom was doing very well. But now that it's democracy, then it can't do well anymore. It's not correct. So we are saying we cannot allow this IMO bill for that reason. And also, we got points of why are we saying that. Because as you hear that they say that they want to give the independent power producers the opportunity to have the same access to electricity market as Eskom. That is rendering Eskom useless. And Eskom, by the way, it's not supposed to be making money. Eskom supposed to produce. In fact, we are calling for Eskom to have more capacity, to can produce more electricity for its people. As we speak now, there are more people who still don't have electricity. Now, this immobile is addressing issues of metro municipalities and all those things. What about there in the rural areas where it's so poor? Poor people still today that they don't still have electricity as we speak now. So in other words, we are denying them forever. Because if we allow these such bills to exist, bills from the DAs, we will understand that we are reversing apartheid in disguise, because this is exactly what's happening. In other words, those rich people will be the only one who will be able to buy electricity. The poor people there in the rural areas will never be able to buy electricity. So we cannot allow such a thing. We are rejecting this thing. We are saying instead Eskom must build its own capacity to can produce more electricity, renewable energies, and everything, so that our people can have access. But finally, Chairperson, you can hear from the minister here that he himself is dilly-dallying, he's not sure what he's talking about. No wonder why Eskom is failing like this. So we are calling for Eskom to come back to the Department of Mineral Resources. So, because remember, Eskom is an energy. And we are having an energy department in this Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. So we are calling for Eskom to come back to Mineral Resources and Energy so that it can be managed properly. Then we are calling for that minister there to go somewhere else, because it shows that even himself, he was failing. He failed to manage Eskom
But there were other people who were fired for that, which are Mabuza and them, but he is still here. He is rendering ESCOM useless as per se. He is telling us that he was meeting last week with his friends, discussing this issue. It looks like, yes, it can work and all those things. We know what they are trying to do here. We cannot allow this thing as a committee to happen. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Tenjan. Can we go to the portfolio committee members of the public enterprise? Number one.
Sorry, Chair, we've got Honorable Matwe and Honorable Kumede.
Okay, Honorable
and Chabalala.
Kumede. Honorable Matwe, Honorable Chabalala.
My hand was also up, Chair, Honorable Mkwanazi.
I put my hand up in my earlier conversation.
I will get you next term. Now it's going to be Shabalala, followed by Mwaotwe, and then Kumede.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Let me greet our honorable members in the House and really welcome the department's presentation on this and greet the department as well, led by the minister. Look, the introduction of a private member's bill entitled Independent Electricity Management Operator Bill, commonly known as IEMO, in the National Assembly by the Honorable Manzoni will be analyzed really for what it is. And I'm happy the fact that it's our first time as the public enterprise would deal with this paper. But however, I want to say, Chairperson, the DA in its own economic and technical thinking limitations to solve any problem in South Africa, if this is seriously considered by this portfolio committee, and really we must consider the consequences thereof of what the DA wants to do of commercializing a viability of ESCOM as well for the future supply of the electricity in South Africa. This bill in essence seeks to privatize of electricity generation, supply, transmission and distribution to a private sector company to the exclusion of government as a shareholder. Now, that's something that we need to highlight, that the DA wants to privatize and take it out of the hands of government, of which, from the ANC point of view, that is not the policy of the ANC as a governing party. And to further say, although the principal emphasis of the bill is on supply and transmission for obvious myopic reasons to be detailed in the paper, its conclusion are geared towards the dismembering of ESCOM and leaving government at the same time to carry out the onus of servicing the 450 billion debt liability. Now, the intention and position of the bill and what it seeks to create, Chairperson, for what it is this, that the section of the bill itself seeks to highlight the main propositions contained in the bill, which will be analyzed in terms of its state intention and consequences thereof, as well as whether that is in the national economic interest of South Africa. Furthermore, this will serve as the basis for a comparison with the ESMO bill, which is claims is merely reproduced in the bill. The objective of this bill, Chairperson, is defined as to provide for the establishment of an independent electricity management operator as a public-private partnership entity, which will provide an independent system operation to ensure safe, secure, and efficient operation of the integrated power system and trading of electricity at wholesale level, and to allow metropolitan municipalities to purchase electricity directly from independent power producers and to provide the matters connected therewith. The public-private partnership entity proposed is unique as it defines no financial benefit to government in such a partnership. The object of this act is to legally provide the incorporation of IEMO as a private company. Thus, the public-private partnership disappears in the object of the act. Therefore, the act sets out six objectives of the private sector company, which is proposed as IEMO. I won't go further, Chairperson. President, safe to say as the ANC, we will reject, we are rejecting this bill with the contempt it deserves. We will not support this bill that seeks to privatize Eskom. And furthermore, when we make laws in South Africa, we make laws on the basis of us trying to deal with the imbalances of the past. And therefore, if you remember, when the ANC took over, the godfather of distribution, Ian McRae, may his soul rest in peace, when Mandela took over, he asked Mandela that, what is it that you're going to do with Eskom? And Mandela answered him to say he will not do anything as long as they continue to connect the cheap electricity grid and connect our African people. So in this instance, they marginalized. Therefore, the ANC is doing something about it. And what we are saying is that we are commending what the department is doing. We are showing confidence. We wanted to continue to restructure the Eskom. The turnaround strategy must continue, Minister, as soon as possible. When we observe the distribution, as we are doing right now, we need, as this committee, to sit down and ensure that we move with the department as it moves, trying to deal with the issues of maintenance and the challenges that we are having today. However, this DA that seeks to come here and come to Parliament, utilizing this platform to make sure that they want to privatize and take over these assets from the marginalized community, from our own people, we shall not allow it. And as this public enterprise, and I want to move as the ANC, and I want to say it so that I'm quoted properly, that we will reject this bill, and we're rejecting it, and we shall meet you in the House in support of the Minerals and Energy Portfolio Committee. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Maodwe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We reject this bill from the EFF. That must be understood from the onset. I won't even waste my time going through this bill because I'll be glorifying something that doesn't really need the glory. What I want to address now is to speak to the Minister of Public Enterprise on what should happen. So I want to lobby the minister to say we need stability in this country. We need energy supply. I saw that in one of your slides you spoke about the energy security. We need such stability in the energy supply through pursuing mixed energy sources like your safe coal, your nuclear energy, and your renewable energy sources. And then secondly, Minister, you need to get Eskom to have a massive renewable energy division, which will make optimal use of solar, wind, and hydro energy sources, while the dependable energy base will remain safe coal and nuclear energy. And thirdly, Minister, I know that, and the ANC likes to do this when they campaign, that they're going to give free electricity. I have not seen any household being given free electricity. So I'm challenging you through Eskom, give poor people electricity at least up to 200 kilowatts per month. And then the fourth thing is, Minister, you need to take a bold step and cancel all the contracts with independent power producers. That will stop the rollout of new independent power producers, because the opportunism of the DA is through those independent power producers that they are now coming with such bills. But if we were to take a bold step and stop those independent power producers, you will not have this opportunism that the DA wants to do. Now, the other thing is, Chair, we need an independent minister. We need to build an institute, a research institute, an independent state electricity economic research institute to prioritize research on energy infrastructure planning, which will form part of your portfolio. It must fall under public enterprise. It must not go to CSIR. It must fall here, and it must guide the, it must give the direction to this country in terms of energy distribution, transmission, and generation. And then, Minister, you need to have a strategy on how we're going to deal with illegal connections. We find this many a times in informal settlements. Our people need electricity. Let's not treat our people as if they're foreigners in their own country. Let's have a campaign to really deal with illegal connections. Let's make them legal. Let's have a strategy from Eskom to go and put electricity in all the informal settlement. And Minister, the last one is we need to invest heavily in renewable energy sources, including windmills, solar water heaters, and all forms of renewable energy to ensure a good mix of sources of energy. And we need to drive to have a campaign on energy savings from households to big corporations to mining companies and all that. That will make Eskom to stop this load shedding that our people now have to face with. And lastly, Minister, we need a state-owned mining company that mines coal, which will then be supplied to Eskom at no cost, because it will take off the burden of this mining company is now charging Eskom exorbitant prices for supplying the coal that they take from our own land. Chair, I will stop there for now. Those are the challenges that I'm posing to the minister, and I'm hoping that we can really, really, minister, if we can prioritize those things and action them, it will take us a long way. But this bill really doesn't deserve our interrogation. We reject it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mawadwe. Honorable Kumede.
Chair. Hi, Chair.
Hello, you are audible, Honorable.
Yes. Am I allowed to cede my rights to Honorable Mkhwanazi?
Okay, that's fine. Honorable Mkhwanazi, come in then. Thank you, Honorable Kumede. Honorable Mkhwanazi.
Thank you, Chair. Am I audible?
Yes, you are only audible now.
Thank you so much, Chair. I want to support my honorable, thank you, Chairpersons, both Chairpersons. Thank you, the Minister. Thank Minister for the clarification and a very knowledgeable presentation that you have presented to the committee. But Chair, I want to support the two colleagues that have spoken before me to say we regret the bill. And some of you will remember that the last time we dealt with the bill, we said all issues raised by the DA are politically policy related and not administrative. So we need to reiterate that point, and it is quite a lot of confusion to highlight the few. Secondly, Chair, I will advise my colleagues from the DA to say they must give themselves time to read and follow up on the progress done on the roadmap to restructuring Eskom. Most of their questions have been covered there. But Chair, we are objecting the bill based on the social transformation that the African National Congress is engaging on. And the Lokhundende clause in chapter 2 we seek to remove a government from participation at the regulator and the economic level from the key economic infrastructural sector. So we are regretting that based on that, because this sector is part of the service delivery to improve the lives of the historical disadvantaged communities, as being raised by the two honorable members from the EFF. That program is very clear in that we are in the social transformation program as the African National Congress to make sure that Eskom establish a capacity, a full capacity, to make sure that it delivers and improve the lives of the historical disadvantaged communities. So in conclusion, Chair, I think we must note that the bill is a waste of parliamentary time and the destruction of the ANC in having a conversation and on what is required to restore the electricity industry to full capacity of the country for the efficient and effective program in service delivery of electricity for growth and development of the country. Based on those points, Chair, for now, we really regret the bill, and I'm on top of that, I'm proposing that we find a space to Lokhundan to make sure that the bill doesn't get any time because it's really a waste of time of Parliament and the work that is in hand. It seeks to refocus us on the program that is on hand. We regret the bill. Thank you, Chairperson, for now.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhwanazi. Can we again check if we can get 2-3 hands from the Mineral Resource and Energy? Any other person want to have a bite to that side? Secretary, can you help us with the mineral resource?
Chair, I don't have any hands as yet. I would have thought Chair will name that. Oh, we've got Mr. Volmaran on the line.
Okay. Honorable Volmaran.
Thank you very much, Chair. let me also join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation as done by the Honorable Minister. Chairperson, the Portfolio Committee Minerals and Energy has interacted at some stage with this bill to the extent that we had a presentation made by the member who proposed it. We had difficulty in checking the relationship with the IMO and the ISMO. We raised a number of questions, and I am not going to deal with a lot of the questions. Three of those questions would be, since it seeks to privatize, to look in terms of a lot of private entry, where does it leave a government? Although it is said that the minister would be given an opportunity to also put in shareholders, we found that as a contradiction. We also looked at the municipalities versus the metros, SALGA, local government, and we found some problems relating to how it's going to be affected. Now, at that stage, we did not have the public enterprises, and we also mentioned the fact that it will be good for us to involve both ESCOM and public enterprises. Now, this report or the presentation is exactly in line with our concerns. It raises the same concerns. And if you look at slide 23, the progress in terms of unbundling, it already even gives you dates as far back as March this year on what has been done. So there is some movement that has been done. It even gives you up to June what was envisaged and the progress relating to that. Now, if we go into the bill currently and disregard the progress that has been done, it will leave us more confused. And it is for those reasons that we have given where we do not want a wholesome privatization. We want to give the restructuring of ESCOM a chance. We want to check what would be the benefit to the communities and not cause more problems to the dying municipalities when the privatization comes through. It is for that reason that going forward, we also of the view that the ANC should not be in support. So I am in support of the presentation as it is and the recommendation, therefore. So the bill, without laboring much on what my colleagues have already said, is a reflection of what we had discussed, and I support the recommendations as put forward on the bill, on the presentation.
Thank you so much, Honorable. Is there any other member want to have a bite before I give back to the minister and the
yes,
Chair? We've got Honorable Malinga.
Honorable Malinga, followed by
Advocate Bumbana.
Chair, I've been asking for a long time now.
Who's that?
Kachalia.
Kachalia. Okay. After Honorable Malinga is Kachalia, followed by Mkumluana.
And Honorable Kule.
Honorable?
Kula.
Kula. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go.
Thank you, Chairpersons. Greetings to the Minister, DMRE and PE and colleagues in the Portfolio Committee of both Portfolio Committees of MRE and Public Enterprises. Chairperson, let me first start by saying I concur with the colleagues who are saying we reject this bill. Chairperson, the IMO bill seeks nothing except to privatize Eskom. To privatize transmission. Eskom is dealing with the three aspects that we said Eskom should do. The unbundling of Eskom, you have your generation, your transmission, your distribution. And seriously, Chair, DPE has done much or great progress in ensuring that Eskom is dealing with these issues. The issue of load shedding, Chair, won't just vanish in a few months that the unbundling has happened, Chairperson. So we need to give the unbundling process as outlined by DPE, by our cabinet, a chance to ensure that Eskom is able to provide cheap electricity to all areas in South Africa. Therefore, Chairperson, we reject this bill. Thank you very much.
Honorable Malinga, Honorable Khashalia.
Thank you, Chair. In the first instance, I'd like to ask why this presentation is marked secret, because it is patently not secret. It isn't tabled in committee, and it is a matter of public record. This marking of this presentation as secret is actually indicative of the command and control mentality which exists, but that's another matter. We have consensus that we do not have a functioning and properly functioning publicly owned electricity utility. There is complete consensus about this in this country across the board. That we agree on. And we need to understand that the reason why is that there is this public entity is non-functional is because we have significant market failure. However, still, in spite of that, there is a failure to, which astounds me, it absolutely astounds me, to engage on this bill. Instead, we are presented with reasons for outright rejection on the basis of some blind adherence to a national state-owned monopoly, which has patently failed. Now, when a bill is presented and speaks to the very major global trends which are referred to in the presentation, which are selectively adhered to by the presenter, it is still rejected. It is this failure to engage is inexplicable. Or perhaps it's not quite so inexplicable. But the questions which come to mind are why is there no consideration of an independent TSO as per the World Bank recommendations? When you talk about international best practice, I think you need to refer and defer perhaps to the World Bank in this regard. And secondly, why is there no interrogation of nuance, when there is consensus as per the World Bank recommendations that which says that nuance is required when examining the outcomes across utility ownership types. Now, that is rejected out of hand. I'd like to understand the reasons behind this, because they seem to be taking us into a very dark space. Thank you.
Honorable Khashalia, who was the next?
Mr. Kula.
Honorable Kula, thank you.
Kate Mpumula and then Mr.
Kula. No, thank you, Sir Doman. Greetings to the minister and greetings to members of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy, as well as public enterprise. One member here speaks about consensus, Shepherdson. And I think there is consensus in this joint PC that this bill, we reject this bill with the contempt that it deserves. And I think we don't just reject this bill because we are excited or we are informed by rejecting just anything. This bill has got many fundamental flaws, which we have always pointed out to the DA and those who support this bill. Part of the flaws is that we can't give a public obligation to a private entity that entrust a public function to a private entity. We can't do that. The DA has consistently refused to realize the flaws that are there in this bill. And we are alert to that reality. When we make laws in this sixth parliament, one of the things that we are informed about, and Honorable Tshabalala spoke about, is that we want to redress the imbalances of the past. We do not want to perpetuate them. We don't owe independent power producers anything. We don't owe private entities anything in this country. Our loyalty is to our people. Our loyalty is towards ensuring that there is a security of supply in this country. The challenges Eskom has are not insurmountable. With the turnaround strategy that we currently have, we are confident that we'll be able to turn around the situation at Eskom. We don't need the IMO bill. It will never change the electricity dynamics in this country. The flaws that are there, from the day one when Honorable Mazoni presented this bill, we were able to point them out that these are the flaws that are there in the bill. The DA not only refuses to realize that they refuse to entertain the flaws that are there, they even refuse to correct them. So we're not
point
going to be able
points of order
to uphold certain things in this bill. We reject it
point
with
of
the
order,
contempt
chair?
That it deserves. It does not have
point
space.
Point of order, Chair.
Well, can you hold there? Who's calling for a point of order?
Chairperson, it's Honorable Malam.
Okay, Honorable Malam.
Chairperson, Honorable Kula is misrepresenting the situation completely. He is misleading this committee. The DA has always said we are willing to engage on every single clause. However, we are not being given an opportunity to engage because it's being rejected without engagement.
No point of order to you.
No problem. We're rejecting.
Point of order.
We're rejecting.
Honorable members, hold on. Honorable Malan, that is not a point of order. We are just differing with him.
No, Chair, he's misleading.
I will appeal to you not to do that.
Can you behave? Can you behave? Behave, Honorable
Kumba. Can you give Honorable Kula to finish up?
No, thanks. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Part of the reason we are also rejecting the bill is this attitude by some honorable members like Honorable Malam, who want to impose their ideas and views on all of us. We're in a democracy here. The ideas which must rule are those of the majority, not the minority. We can't be ruled by the minority because they've got arrogance. They think they know better than everybody else. So I want to maintain, Chair, that we are rejecting this bill with the contempt that it deserves. It will never see the light of day. IMO bill will never have space in this country. And Honorable Malam, Honorable Kachalia, and any other of these comrades, of these honorable members in the TA, must be alert to that reality. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Can we also get Honorable Mpumlwana?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And thank you. I want to greet the other chair as well. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for the good work you have done. I think let me address here what I think is the people don't understand the bone of contention here. It's a question of policy. The DA is a political organization. It has got a right to have the laws according to their policies. I think we differ here on the question of a policy. Paragraph, Section 2 and Section 3 says it all. Section 2, which is the objective, mainly clearly states that this is the government is out of this. Section 3 says that even if the government is not a shareholder and shall never be a shareholder, it must also, which I think C3C says the state shall not be allowed to be a shareholder, which therefore means that it is pure privatization. Now, the policies of the African National Congress, as I understand them, is not to privatize a very strategic institution like ESCOM. So the DA will come up with the World Bank. We may not necessarily agree with what the policy of, but they may agree. So anything that comes in this bill is based on the policy of the DA. So I agree with all the other people who are saying this bill should be rejected, and is rejected on the basis of the policy, that our policy is not to privatize the family treasure. If I have got my own assets, now it's not wise that I should just ask somebody to do it. I think the other problem is the ANC at least has a responsibility to the people who are underprivileged. And also the approach of the DA is, if maybe I'm putting it wrongly, is mainly for this, catering for people in the cities, particularly those that have got more money. So there we differ here in so many other ways. I think I agree, and I want to vote with the people who are saying, let us reject it. I thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mbumlwana. Honorable Phillips, is there any other speaker want to speak before Honorable Phillips speak? Because I want to close and give back to the minister after the
Chair, Honorable Komani.
Komani. Who else?
Thank you.
Who else after Komani is closing? Thank you, Komani.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me state that we reject this bill with the content that
sorry,
it has.
Sorry, Honorable Komani. It's Honorable Phillips.
Okay.
You are following here, him or her.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I just want to go back to some of the comments from some of the people engaging on this platform. The first thing is the loyalty to our people. And I think that loyalty to our people actually transcends any kind of policy. And the policy that we should be making is one that will benefit all our people, irrespective of which political party the idea or the proposal came from. We need to engage together to draft a policy that will work to give all our people electricity. And all along, the DA said, we're putting this on the table, but we are prepared to engage, we are prepared to make changes, we are prepared to make compromises, because we want the best for the people in South Africa. But the standpoint of the other political parties has been, we will reject it, irrespective of whether it will benefit the people in our country or not. So you cannot claim to be representing the people in South Africa if you are rejecting something going to be in their favor. Thank you so much.
Phillips, can we have Honorable Komani as the last speaker on this matter?
Thank you, Chairperson. Once again, let me reiterate that we are reaching this bill with the content that it has. Because I'm speaking from the political point of view as the EFF, we cannot be dictated by the minority because the bill that they seek to present here is not representing the people of South Africa, but it is representing those that are not disadvantaged. And Tina, we are saying the bill must seek to assist those people who are most disadvantaged. But then we cannot be bullied by the DA to come and speak to the bill that they feel it's working for them, because we will not even accept and accede to the privatization of Eskom. No, we cannot do that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Komani. Back to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to all of the Honorable Members for their contributions. As I said at the outset, and I'll respond to some of the individual points made in a moment, conceptually, this bill is a bit of a disaster and highly confused and problematic. You know, amongst the things I pointed out at the beginning, what I didn't point out, chairpersons, is that Honorable Mpulwana referred to Section 2 and then Section 3. But it's fascinating if you read Section 3.1c, which all of us have made reference to, the state shall not be allowed to be a shareholder. And then read Section 36.1c, which says shareholder contributions approved by the Minister of Finance. So you're not supposed to be a shareholder, but you must make or could make shareholder contributions. But worse still, in Section 3, Subsection 4, it says no fee is payable in respect of the incorporation of EMO. So somebody pointed out to me, this is what you call privatization without compensation. In other words, assume that over the years, the state has invested 30 billion rands in the current transmission system. It must now transfer the entire 30 billion rands into private hands without any compensation whatsoever. And even those who will become shareholders, which is modeled on the Reserve Bank, and that's what I think Mr. Mulderham was referring to, 10,000 shares at a time, they will earn a dividend in terms of other sections of the bill. So it's fascinating that the DA is promoting privatization without compensation. And it's something for the public to think about. Secondly, Comrade Chair or Chairpersons, is that it's good that Mr. Mulderham has done some of the research that he's made reference to. So he's absolutely right, and we agree that we require a transmission component with the systems operator. It's in the roadmap. It will be before some committee or the other, probably the Energy Committee at some stage, when the Minister of Mineral and Energy is ready to bring some legislation to Parliament on what was originally called the ISMO. He is absolutely right that there needs to be a planning function and a buying function, and should be separated. That's agreed, and it's in the provisions in the Eskom roadmap as well. And he refers to the Saab model. I'm not sure exactly what he's referred to. The Saab enjoys constitutional independence in terms of the constitution. And then it's required through the governor and the Minister of Finance to consult on a regular basis, as the constitution actually says. He then says that there's little progress with unbundling, but as many honorable members have pointed out, there's a whole schedule in the slides of where we're going, and I did indicate that Eskom will be speeding up that process, and we'll have revised timelines soon in that particular regard as well. So so-called unbundling or restructuring is certainly on its way. If you look at the question that he makes reference to, which is a point made in slide 14, he says that metropolitan municipalities purchasing of electricity directly, and then picks on the word unconstitutional. But chairpersons, if you look at the whole sentence in slide 14 at the top, it actually says unconstitutional discrimination between metros and other classes of municipalities. So the issue isn't municipalities buying electricity directly, as the Minister of Energy is already consulting on. It's a question, why only metro municipalities? So any municipality that has the financial means to do so, which might not be a metro, should be allowed to do perform that particular function or undertake that exercise. So that's the clarity on that particular question, which rather unfortunately Mr. Millham didn't look at completely. And alternative solutions to Eskom, well, the alternative is already there, and it's consistent with benchmarks that we have already indicated are provided for by the International Energy Agency. And I'm just looking for that slide. I'll get to it in a moment. Then, in relation to, I think most of the honorable members are in tune with, I just need to get an electricity connection. Give me a second, please. Most of the honorable members have agreed that this bill should be rejected, and I'll get back to Honorable Kachalia. If he can only pick on the word accidentally put in called secret and make a big story out of it, shows the paucity of his thinking and contribution to this particular debate. Honorable Shabalala has made the point very well about privatization as well and the rejection of the bill. Honorable Matwe has made some very constructive suggestions that we'd certainly like to take on board. And there is currently a provision for free basic electricity to the extent of 50 kilowatt hours. And some municipalities, I believe, are providing for slightly more at their own expense if they have the financial means to actually do so. She's absolutely right that the issue of illegal connections is presents a danger to our people. For many reasons, and that there should be a campaign, and Parliament itself should be engaged in it, together with other social groups, to discourage illegal connections and to provide prepaid meters, which Eskom is already beginning to do in Soweto, parts of Soweto, for example, and will do that same work elsewhere. The energy-saving component that Honorable Matwe speaks about is the one deficiency, by the way, chairpersons, that many have found as a weakness in the South African case, that both in industry and as far as households are concerned, energy efficiency, as it is called, is not adequately practiced and instituted or institutionalized. And it's an area which, over and above producing more energy, how we have energy-saving devices and energy-saving technologies in our businesses is as important as well. So that's the demand-side management, which traditionally Eskom also promotes in many ways as well. On the question of a state-owned mining company, perhaps some engagement needs to happen with the Minister of Minerals in this particular regard. Honorable Mkhwanazi correctly asks colleagues to look at the roadmap a lot more carefully. And Honorable Walmerans is also indicating that the restructuring process, as he puts it, is on its way and should be given an opportunity to continue to some point of conclusion, and we can take it from there once it's on its way. And then, as I said, that on the question of Mr. Kacharya's points about blind adherence to a failed system, there's no blind adherence. In fact, government and ESKOM has demonstrated a willingness to be agile, responsive, in tune with international best standards, and in rescuing itself from the years of state capture and destruction. We are in the process of beginning to stabilize the institution. And I'm not the operator. The operator is the board, and in particular, the management and staff of ESKOM, who are trying their best, although with great difficulty. And we are beginning to lay the foundation in the roadmap and the implementation of the roadmap to creating a future energy supply system in South Africa. And that actually shows, as I pointed out, an alertness to what is happening around us and the ability to accommodate new ideas and actually new ways of doing things. He talks about market failure. There's no market failure here. In fact, a market is being developed where generation was almost 99 to 100% in ESKOM's hands. A new market is developing for renewables to generate energy, and other forms of embedded generation is now being allowed. New kinds of transactions are allowed between generators and consumers. And all of that demonstrates that there are new players in the generation business. And as this evolves over the next 10 or 20 years, because this is how long these systems take to evolve, other dynamics will enter this as well. So I think the committees have shown more than adequately a willingness to engage on all sorts of specifics. But where there are fundamental flaws in the conceptualization of the bill, and where the purpose is purely political as opposed to advancing the energy supply system in South Africa, then there will be failure, as this bill is going to fail, it would seem, in the two committees. And the DA and its representatives have chosen, I think, the wrong path and the wrong issue on which to enter the debate around energy security in South Africa. On the question of the independence of transmission and ISMO, I don't know. I think we're missing each other somewhere along the line, because that's what is in the roadmap. That's what all of us are talking about. And that's what is being suggested by the International Energy Agency in slide 6, which says clearly, restructuring the vertically integrated state-owned monopolies to allow for the private sector participation by creating a standalone state-owned transmission company as a first step, with the end result being the development of a competitive retail market. We agree with that, and that's what we are saying. And we've said on many occasions before the Public Enterprises Committee that one of the lessons of public monopolies like Transnet and ESKOM is that even they require both internal competition and, where appropriate, external competition to keep them on their toes, to ensure maximum efficiencies and productivity within those institutions. And it is that competition that will actually result in the kind of outputs that we require from these institutions, and not a lazy reliance on the state at the end of the day. So I think we are ahead of the curve, as far as I'm concerned, as government chairpersons in this particular regard as well. Where we talk about no interrogation of nuance, there's no nuances in this bill to talk about, or to interrogate for that matter, because if matters of principle are not resolved, and if they are, as Honorable Mpulwana was pointing out, fundamental policy differences and confusion, there's no room for engagement. But then it's for the parliamentarians to decide how we engage. And we can certainly agree with Honorable Phillips that at the end of the day, what we produce, either as government with this, or with the assistance of parliament, must be in the interests of all South Africans and in the interests of the future of South Africa as well. So all in all, Chairperson, I think we've shared our views with you, and you've made a number of views known as well. And we wish you well in the further deliberations on this bill, which could have been better crafted and would have saved all of us a lot of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Can I take this opportunity to give back to the Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson?
No. I thought you were going to continue, Chair, with the next part of this discussion, because I think at some point we'll have to, at a preliminary level, be able to sort out certain issues that relates to the bill as proposed, and then we'll be able to share then what will be the way forward. Maybe that's what we should have a discussion, except to say the Secretariat can remind me we'll be dealing with this matter next week from a committee point of view. We are not sure, because this one is just a briefing session. Finally, we will have to make a decision with regards to the bill on the basis of the protocols and guidelines of parliamentary processes. So I think that's what at this stage we can look at, in particular from public and enterprise. There are certain areas, obviously, that I think we will have to deal with them, so that we give clarity on the process, as well as the contents that are contained in the bill. But I think at this stage, let me leave it to you, Chair, until that time where we will have to look at the practical possibilities that exist. The reason I'm saying that is that whether we will be able to deal with the matter and exhaust without hearing the separate committee. But I can get the sense of what is the general view that is contained. I must also say that in this discussion, I always believe one thing: debate and discussion about persuading each other, and therefore part of that discussion is that none of us possess supernatural wisdom. It's important that when we engage on a discussion, we should move from a premise of trying to convince each other. It doesn't mean what I say, it's supposed to be. But sometimes I can hear that we run the risk where we say people will end up saying what they are saying is the correct one. The truth of the matter is that there's a discussion on the table, and there will be views and that are expressed without further delaying the meeting, Chair. I don't want to raise some of the issues that to me I think they are quite critical when we deal with them. Let me see whether then there is a further process, and thank the Minister for the presentation. At least I think it gives us a better understanding now of whatever decision we take, what is the feeling as far as the executive and the Committee on Public Enterprise. But I thought maybe you have another process that you want to undertake when the minister, if, as I say, if it was the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, I would say, I thought the minister had said by quota to hear request, and there was no objection on him being released at 10:45. Now it's 10:46. I think that let's take the process post this interaction with the minister.
Okay.
Meaning, therefore, we release the minister since he has made his apology earlier, and then we go to the, according to the agenda, we're supposed to have a response from the Department of Public Enterprise. I think it will be the DG and ESCOM. Can we check, or we're done with that?
We are done with that, Chair.
The minister covers everybody there.
Everybody. Yes. This is not only energy saving, time saving as well, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable members, I think then we are at the tail end of the session, unless there is anything that I'm leaving. Honorable Chairperson Luzipo, my understanding is that this meeting, we were to get this presentation that we have already engaged. And my understanding is that the bill has been rejected by this portfolio committee. And in that context, therefore, in terms of the business of today, we have done our work now. We can follow with any other process that will come later. But on this session, I think we're done.
Chair,
who is saying Chair?
It's Ayanda.
Can I request?
Okay, boss.
Can I request, Chair, the portfolio committee members of Minerals and Energy to stay behind, not to log off?
Okay.
Chair, you'll excuse me now. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, Chair. I was before Minister. Can I be next? Yes. I was saying, Chair, from the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprise, the bill is rejected, and you can close the matter now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I think we are all in that kind of understanding. All other members can leave except the members of
Members in Public Enterprise.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chapalal.
Yes, baby.
Tommy, give us a number.
Bill is rejected, Tommy. Let's go out. Let's leave Mineral. Bye-bye, Mineral. Bill is not, it's rejected yet.
Wait, for the Chair.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Chairperson, point of order.
Yes.
So, yes, today, we're Maling.
Yes, Honorable Maling.
Sekaya.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, it's not for the Department of Mineral or for the Portfolio Committee of Mineral Resources and Energy to take a decision on this bill. It's not a bill that is before them. They can't decide whether or not to accept or reject a bill.
I can't get you.
Your order is not sustained.
Chair, can Honorable Maliga be quiet?
No, wait. Honorable Maliga, no, please. Honorable Mailam, we can't discuss what the other committee can do. The committee has received the information.
It so you mean we wasted our time?
You said an order. You said
Chair,
an order.
Sorry, I'm trying to clarify something here, please, if I may.
No, Honorable Mailam, you said an order.
With them. It's got to do with us.
No, you said an order. Do you want...
Who is us, Chair? Who is us?
Us being the Portfolio Committee of Mineral Resources and Energy.
That's not our bill.
Sorry, Chair, can I please be protected, Chair?
No, please. I cannot make a ruling on behalf of public enterprise. If there is an objection to what public enterprise has done, we know we are going to the committee next week. That's where Mineral Resources and Energy will take a decision. So I can't rule on behalf of public enterprise. That's my ruling.
Chair, if I may?
Yes.
First of all, Chair, I'd ask that you protect members when they are being verbally abused during discussions with you. Secondly, Chair, my point of order is that it's not for a decision of public enterprises, for the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprises, to influence us one way or another. we have to take a decision, and that's what I was trying to clarify. This was a joint committee meeting of both, in which you are one of the chairs. Chair.
Hold on. Is that an order, Honorable Tenjan?
Yes, it's an order, Chairperson. You are the chairperson here. You are the one who must clarify this thing to us.
Then I'll allow you.
Let me make an order. Let me now. I'm making a ruling. I sustain the order that Honorable Mtenja. Because that's what Honorable Mailam, you want to address me on the order that I've made. I've made a ruling. I said we are not going to discuss public enterprise. The decision will be taken by the committee next week. That is the focus of mineral resources and energy. If your view is that they were not supposed to do it, it is not part of this meeting now. It must be raised by members in that committee. Our decision on this matter is next week, if we take a decision.